This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvind Viraj.
We're going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. A nice sunny day outside, less clouds than yesterday. Arvind is back here with us. Mm-hmm. It's almost a full family here in the studio today, and by full family, I mean the three of us.
I mean, I was here yesterday from 10 a.m. to 11, then I wasn't.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You just skived out of here.
Weird scheduling and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, very strange. He's a busy man, ladies and gentlemen. He's a very busy man. Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with the show today, you can do it in a few ways. WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We have a poll running on Twitter and I believe an open-ended question over on Instagram, and it is, which work-related area would you like to manage yourself? We have a few options over on Twitter. What have we got, Arv?
We've got performance review and bonus, pay rise, vacation days, time off, and others. So let us know what they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, of course, we have a few topics to discuss today. The first one will be about lazy management. The second one will be about
how Jeff Bezos, as Keith alluded to on the news earlier, is stepping down as Amazon CEO.
And then third and final story.
Yeah, sticking with very, very rich people, Elon Musk and his progress with Neuralink.
Oh, dear. Okay, so some people believe that modern management is broken as it was not designed for career development, remote working or employment engagement. So we're discussing an alternative management approach, get this, called lazy management, a leadership and a management style that gives employees more control over their work lives and careers. Hence the poll that we have over on Twitter today. Mm-hmm. So according to author and co-founder of people management software platform DoThings, Matt Casey, being a good leader is a virtually impossible challenge. Let that sink in for a moment. He believes the definition of a good manager varies from employee to employee, depending on personality. Some may thrive under one type of leader, whilst others think the same person is the worst boss they've ever had. Quote, most of us had more bad managers than good. The interpersonal combination makes it difficult. You have to be selfless and at the same time demanding. Employees have different work styles and you have to be all things to all people. It's hard to do the job well. Organizations tend to rely on management training to change the manager into someone who is effective. But he says it isn't the fix. And he goes on to say, I've seen good managers get better and bad managers a bit less bad. But in the end, a bad manager is still bad. And a good manager was already good. It's not enough to move the dial. So whilst he was the managing director of Moonfruit, a UK-based website building service, he looked at his responsibilities and determined that the easy way to handle some of the tasks would be to cross them off his calendar and put the onus on the employees to carry them out. He calls his approach lazy management and says changing the job instead of the manager is the best solution. And this is how he did it. He started off with performance reviews and bonuses. So one of the responsibilities he took off his plate is evaluating performance and assigning bonuses. Very interesting. Previously, he was tasked with rating employees between 1 and 5 and distributing money accordingly. Taking his new lazy approach, he assigned everyone a 3 by default. And he told the team, I'm only going to talk to you if I think you deserve less than that, and I'll tell you why. If you think you deserve more, you come and tell me. So everyone, according to him, got their score exactly right. If they felt they were worth more, they came to me with the number I would have given. The people who were given threes might have griped and been unhappy before making this change, but the onus was on them. They knew they didn't have a case, and so they didn't come and make it. Changing the performance review and bonus was the moment he felt he was onto something. So if people make judgments for themselves, they're more comfortable with honest ones. When they have to justify it, they know they have to come up with something reasonable, and it saved him a lot of time and frustration. Mm. Quite smart, really.
Yeah.
A bit of a genius move.
I like
that. Pay raises. He also told his team that it was their job to tell him when they wanted a pay raise. By putting employees in charge, he removed that invisible barrier that used to exist around asking for more money and eliminated the risk that they silently felt overlooked. So he said it would be no longer my responsibility to talk about what you're worth. If you're complaining about not being paid enough, come and talk to me and present your case. It's completely fine and expected. The moment you do, the whole problem can be solved. Mm-hmm. Very interesting approach. Vacations, holidays as we call them. Another management task that took time on his calendar was approving vacation days, which he admits had been difficult. He'd been handling inconsistently. So employees would put in time off requests, but he sometimes forget to review the request. So he says it occurred to him that when they're making the request, they're really asking, can you check if it's okay for me not to be there? But they should know that. They should make sure they aren't taking a day off and making it difficult for everyone else. Approving vacation is like a manager being a personal assistant, finding out that the answer is it's just for you, right? So when a manager is responsible for authorizing time off and it creates a problem, the employee is off the hook. The manager gave them permission. It creates an awkward position, and any issue it caused became his bad management. Mm-hmm. So he put the responsibility back on the employee, which solved the problem. And he says, I've hired you to do the job. Make sure not being at work doesn't impact everyone else. As long as you get the job done, I don't care how many days you take off. We've spoken about this before. So over 3 years, he said he removed a good portion of the management structure, rebuilt the business, and turned a profit each year. The biggest surprise of taking a lazy manager approach is how few things went wrong, he says. So he goes on to say, there's an expectation that some people might take advantage and see this as an opportunity to do as little as possible and exploit the freedom. But he goes on to say, no one did. It's almost as if being treated like an adult encourages you to act in a more adult way. When there were more boundaries, people pushed against them. When they were taken away, they didn't have anything to push against, so they did their job. Lazy management also created a social contract. Everyone liked having the freedom. No one wanted to be the employee who jeopardized it. It created a level of trust amongst the employees.
Hmm.
So I want to ask you, Rich, like specifically, because you've worked in like different countries, across different continents even. This, I think, is based a lot on like work culture.
Yeah.
Right. I think in some places you can be sort of like more brash about how much you want to earn, and you can walk up to management and go like, look, I think this is how much I deserve. And you're not quote unquote shy to ask for more. It's safe to say that for a long, long time, it's changing now. It's changing a lot now. But I think for a long, long time, especially in Asian countries, you're supposed to be more, I don't know if modest is the word, but modest about your earnings.
Secretive almost.
It's secretive for sure. But also, like, you know, it's kind of rude to ask people for more money, especially in more traditional workplaces. Going up to management and saying like, look, I'm not happy with this raise. I want more. I want double that. So I don't know. This sounds good, but I think it's also based on a lot of like the work culture has to be there for people to step up. Otherwise, someone's going to get a three and they're not going to speak up for themselves.
I agree, especially here in Asia, for sure. China, definitely. Here, definitely. Like you say, less so in places like the UK, the US, Australia. People would be more than happy to say, I know I'm worth more than a three.
Yeah.
You know, and they would happily go and present their case, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on the pay raise front as well, where, you know, a lot of companies here don't practice salary transparency. So you don't even know if you are getting paid what you're worth.
And it's discouraged as well to talk about that, right?
Yeah.
To the point where some companies even say, you know, if you discuss salaries, we can dismiss you, which technically is not right. But, they have that.
I kind of feel like this lazy management style has to be sort of incorporated from the ground up. You know, it's very difficult to shift into this sort of style.
Yeah.
You know, once, a lot of these boundaries have already been set and have been set in place for so long. I don't think it's impossible, but it has to be a very dedicated effort to making sure that people understand that the environment is suitable as well to be able to share a lot of this information.
It's perfect for entrepreneurs and business startups, that kind of stuff here. You know, to kind of start inculcating that idea of like, we are completely transparent. This is how we do things. You know, I think you're worth this amount of money. Come and tell me that you're not. You know, and it's not going to affect us on a personal level. But this is how you're right, Chris. It's got to start from the ground up and be built up as something new. Transitioning into it is going to be difficult because of what Arvin was just talking about, how it's kind of this whole don't talk about your wages. You don't talk about how many days off you've got, you know?
Especially if you're like a giant corporation and stuff, and if you're like an old school company, it's going to be difficult to, how many departments are you going to change to follow a style like this? They work in silos,
And you still have to commit to it as well. You can't just say it and then, you know, when someone actually comes up to you saying, hey, I want X amount more money, suddenly you're like, nope, shut it down,
become defensive. I'm
really interested to see what you guys at home think about this. So let us know. What do you think about the lazy style of management? Do you like the idea of this? And would you feel comfortable talking about your pay scale to your management? You know, would you feel comfortable about discussing whether or not you deserve more days of leave with your management? You know, let us know. We do have a poll running over on Twitter, which is available at BFM Radio. Also get us on Instagram. And of course, if you want to take part in the discussion, 018-789-8899. We'll also be hearing from corporate HR specialist Deepa George from My HRC Services. She'll be talking to us a little bit about the lazy management style when we come back. But before that, Black Sabbath with Paranoid here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm with
Arvind Viraj
and Christine Wong.
We're talking about lazy management today, but not that lazy management in a good way. Some people believe modern management is broken. It was not designed for career development, remote working, or employee engagement. We're discussing an alternative management approach called lazy management, a leadership and management style that gives employees more control over their work lives and careers. We've been discussing this for the last 20 minutes or so. We've got polls running on Twitter and a question over on Instagram as well. And a couple of messages over on WhatsApp. Let's go with Twitter first. I'll have the numbers and a couple of comments, please.
Yeah, so the numbers are performance review and bonus at 24.5%, pay raise at 31.4%, and vacation days time off at 40.2%. We have a message from SEKU who says the project to work on and team member to work with, which I feel is interesting, like fluid workflow and fluid tasks, I guess.
All right.
I would say, though, to SE, like, to be careful of being complacent, though, because sometimes I think when you're put in teams that you're not used to or that you didn't choose, it actually helps you to kind of grow and improve at like communication and teamwork as well.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Quickly over here, an anonymous one. It says, pull the other leg, please. A lot of supervisors can't even accept new ideas in the workplace despite dutifully inviting creativity from the staff because top management said so. Mm-hmm. I think most of us would have to wait for another century before the workforce can enjoy this type of democratic maturity.
Mm. Ooh, wow.
Harsh, but I think... echoing some of the things that Arv mentioned and Christy mentioned.
Yep.
Pretty fair. Mm-hmm. Chris.
Couple of things on Instagram here. Alanis Troy just says pay raise. Stephen HSL said workload. If I don't have the capacity, let me have a choice not to take that job. And Gwen O says performance review. It has never been fair.
Ooh. Interesting. Mm. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk more on this, but let's hear from Deepa first. She's a corporate HR specialist. So is this lazy management approach to organizational management feasible? How would Malaysian companies fare under this approach? And to understand the merits and challenges of this management approach, we've got on the line with us corporate HR specialist Deepa George from HRC Services, Sindhira and Rahad. Deepa, what do you think of Casey's lazy management style?
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was quite refreshing. I mean, we've heard about, you know, sort of other companies even in the past that say, you know, there's no need for annual leave. I think you know about that. It created a big buzz a couple of years ago where you just manage your own time depending on the deliverables. So for me, I think the main topic that stood out or the term that stood out was how are leaders supposed to be selfless yet demanding, right? Because you're serving both the organization, but as a leader, you're also meant to serve your employees. So you have that twofold thing. So I think off the bat, when I read it, I thought, there are a couple of assumptions. And I think it works. It works if a couple of things. One is the organization is very clear on what, you know, the goals are, which are cascaded to the teams, which means the employees know exactly what they're working towards. So some companies, unfortunately, employees are given a very short line of sight and very, almost by default, they're siloed because they're just working on what they are known to work for within their team or even their own role. They don't have a larger line of sight or connection to the higher purpose. So if that's the case, it becomes really difficult because then they just know that they need to finish their work on time and all they can see is that. So the leaders don't get a chance to look at it from a larger perspective, you know, like a wider range. So I think that becomes a really hard thing. So a couple of things. One is I think if they can make sure that there's regular feedback, so which means that the employees get regular feedback from leaders, that's very important. Secondly, the leaders then make sure that there's fair treatment. I don't mean equal, I mean fair. And what I mean by fair is it is different treatment for different people. That's what makes it fair, right? Because a newer person needs a different thing, a more seasoned person. And then last but not least, the employees must be honest also to judge themselves. If they've been given regular feedback, they know how they're doing, they've been treated fairly as an organization and as leaders, employees, then if they can judge themselves fairly, it works. But otherwise, I'm still a bit skeptical on how practical it is in its full form.
And I think, you know, we want to know if something like this is even doable with like COVID and all. Because even here at the station, we're working on split shifts. Some companies are completely work from home. Is something like this even practical in this business environment?
Yeah, so I think if we isolate, you're right, I don't have a fixed answer. But again, it's not about whether it can be doable in all organizations. So what is best practice in one may not be best practice in another. It could be best fit. I always think don't look at best practice. A lot of people say, oh, look at market practice. This is what's happening. Yeah, but that market is different. It's not your company. So you need to look at whether it fits for you. So if you tell me, can COVID allow this to happen? Possibly. But again, there are some fundamentals, right? The first fundamental is if employees know that the hygiene factors are taken care of, that means everything that needs to happen for them on a baseline is there, right? So the trust is there that they'll get their pay on time, that they will do their work on time. So if they know they're getting paid on time and they know they'll get their work delivered on time, that basic level of trust is there. Second, are they appreciated? And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody says that people are their greatest asset, but what do you do in the company to show that? So do you appreciate your employees? Yes, you might have some baseline benefits. You give some leeway that when people are not well or that people are, you know, everyone has their off day. So the company appreciates their employees, right? And last but not least, the plus factor is, do you actually recognize the people? So appreciation is just baseline. Hygiene factor, payroll, trust, knowing that you'll get your job done. And then you appreciate them with some benefits. But then how do you recognize them, those solid contributors, the high performers? So if you tell me during COVID, can it be done? Yes, it can, but not everywhere. If you have a job that requires, you know, sort of physical interaction with people and requires you to actually spend that time where you need to be seen doing it, you can't control it yourself. The manager needs to allocate tasks. So, for example, call center roles, customer service, you have X number of calls to do or X number of interactions to do. The manager has to be in control of the work output. It becomes really hard if you self-manage from employees. But if it is project-based work, where the employees are supposed to deliver X within 2 weeks, what is the difference if the manager is visibly in the line of sight or not? They still have to deliver their work. So then the employees can probably self-manage those things better, including even things like leave. Now, if I think I can take 5 days off and still deliver my project within 2 weeks, then power to me. But I better be doing it with the right level of quality, expectation, deliverables, and the outcome to the standards that we want.
Yeah, very true. And Deepa, would you say that there are any other major fault points to this style of management?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fault point, or rather a risk, right? I wouldn't call it a fault, because the fault only can be seen after you try it and see whether then, oops, we shouldn't have done it. But I would say the risk mitigation is three things. The first and foremost, I feel, which sad to say, I myself, a lot of us have shied away from doing, is have we been very clear from a company perspective, what are the expectations and what are the standards of performance? Does everybody in the company even know what good looks like, what great looks like, and therefore what does bad look like before you say, you know, so how am I supposed to judge myself if I don't know what good looks like or great looks like? So if we have never, going back to that heart of feedback, if you have never given regular feedback to people to tell them you've done a great job and this is why, or you've done less than a good job and this is why, then how do you expect them to self-regulate and self-manage? Okay, so the first assumption or risk is, have you made it clear what the standards of performance are and spelled out expectations? Then secondly, the assumption is that all the leaders in the company have done it right too. Have the leaders in the company, there might be great leaders and pockets of greatness within an organization, but if generally leaders shy away from giving regular feedback, then the company is not ready for something like this. And then last but not least, the employees. Do the employees have the maturity to understand? Do they believe they've been treated fairly? Back to that fact of the hygiene factors, and feel appreciated. So if they think that the company is clear on expectations, the leaders have done right by them in giving them regular feedback and fair assessment, then hopefully they have the maturity to understand and therefore self-regulate and self-judge. That's at least my view on how this can work.
So could there be a more balanced approach to modern management, one that incorporates structure and control from management, like what we're used to, and more freedom and accountability from the employees, like in Casey's case?
Yeah. So, yes, I think I would love to say that we can achieve that balance, but I go back to my point where it may not fit our organization. We have to really look at whether it works within our own organizations, right? But there's two things. One sits on the leader. Sorry, three. One sits on the organization, one on the leader, and one on the employee. So how can it work on a balanced basis? On an organization, like I said, maybe openly tell people, and this is a great time in the year, 2021, we say we want to empower you guys. And this is what the empowerment looks like. So let's be clear. So the organization spells out clearly what the standards are that we're looking for. What does good look like? What are we expecting? What does client ready look like? What does acceptable standards look like? And therefore, people know what to strive towards. So that's from a first step. Secondly, on a balance from a leader perspective, what must he or she do? A leader must definitely, this is the year, if you want to do this, it's a year to provide constant feedback. It doesn't matter, virtual, over the phone, on WhatsApp, but give regular feedback to your team members so that you apply what the standards organization set forth. The leader then echoes that and it resonates with the team. And finally, the employee themselves, it's easy for the leader to check. Get the employees to always give themselves, almost like self-reflection of how the week has been or how the month has been. So instead of always being feedback from the manager to the staff, a good way to have a balanced approach is let's start out with mini things. Once a month, get the employee to say how the month has been for them, where they think they've done well versus the leader telling them. So once you start with that, then it becomes sort of like a built approach. And maybe in a couple of months, we can check in to see whether, you know, this is something that continues. But like I said, organization must be clear on the standards and it must communicate it. Leader must then use that for regular feedbacks. But then let's give the employees the power to feedback for themselves and reflect and share that with the leader. So there's a good check and balance. I think that's a practical starting point, at least.
Thank you. That was Deepa George, a corporate HR specialist from MyHRC Services. Any thoughts on what Deepa had to say there, guys?
No, I think some of the things she was talking, I felt like with the context, like I mentioned below, like different places, different companies, different countries even. Mm. But I love the fact that she said if there's a proper time to try it, then this would be the year, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a weird environment. Mm. If you want to experiment, I think this would be the time to experiment.
Yeah. A couple of things she said towards the end there, in point four as well, where she's talking about get the employee to kind of give feedback, you know, once a month or whatever, how well they feel they've done during that month. Mm-hmm. The problem with doing something like that now, in this weird time that we're in, is it's hard to say I feel as though I've overachieved or I feel as though I've done very well, or because right now a lot of that discussion, that discourse is like, I feel as though I've managed to get through the week.
Yeah.
I feel I've managed to get through the month, you know. So I think it's very difficult to kind of self-assess.
Yeah, but even from a cultural perspective as well, I would feel very weird about saying to someone, I feel like I've overachieved this week.
Right.
Mm, you know, it feels like bragging, which is not really something that I think is sort of a cultural standard to talk yourself up as well. The other thing that I quite liked about what Deepa was saying is that I think a lot of companies operate on the kind of no news is good news sort of approach where if you're not getting any feedback at all, probably you're doing okay. But I love that she was like, no, like make it a more active process. Actually give people feedback when they're doing well as if they're not doing so well as well.
Mm. I mean, I guess it's tough when the goalpost keeps moving or if you don't know where the goalpost is or even if you don't know what field you're playing on at this point. Like this year, right? So it's kind of, it's more difficult to evaluate or choose these things when everything's so vague.
So if you're interested in stuff like organizational management and autonomy and flexibility, remote working or anything like that, and you missed this part of the discussion, of course, you can download the podcast. That's available a little bit later on via the BFM app, available in the Apple App Store, Google Play. Listen to us on Spotify. We have a poll running over on Twitter. Of course, the question is, which work-related area would you like to manage yourself with this idea of lazy management? Take part in the poll if you'd like to. It's at BFM Radio on Twitter. Discussions are happening over on Instagram. That's also at BFM Radio. And of course, get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Short break. When we come back, we'll have an update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arv. Some music, though, to take us into that break. It's The Undertones with Teenage Kicks here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.